1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. In verse 13, John tells us why he has written the previous passages. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He writes so that you can know that you and I are in Christ, we believers, and so that we can have confidence in the fact that we have eternal life. We know we do. And he wants us to have confidence in that, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, Jesus said he's the only way to the Father, and we believe it, and we believe we're children of God. And God is our Father, and that's what he's been talking about. We've studied that. And we know now that we have access to God through Jesus. And we are now told we can now have confidence in another thing, that God hears our petitions and prayers. You know, he's been going over, we have this confidence that we're saved, that we have eternal life. And, you know, it's important for the Christian to know that. But now he's going to cover the fact that we can have this same confidence and assurance. You know, we sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We know we're saved. We have that assurance. But he says, I want you to have confidence and assurance in one other thing that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He says, I want you Christians to know that God hears your petitions, your prayers. And then in verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, we have confidence in that, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, people look at these verses and say, wow, that didn't seem to be true in my life. But if we know that he hears us, and he wants us to have confidence in that, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The idea is, he's trying to tell them, have confidence in the fact that he hears and he answers. We have, in other words, we have confidence, or should have confidence, in prayer. And I'm not sure how, I know a lot of people pray, but I don't know how many have assurance and confidence in prayer. If everyone did, I'm sure we'd all be praying a lot more. If we have this, we know that, wow, I just have to pray and ask, and God will answer. Maybe it's because things don't work out the way we want from our prayers, and so we think, well, God doesn't answer everyone. But this verse tells us just the opposite. We have confidence that if we ask anything, let's see, there's some things here. According to his will, he hears us. And if we know that, he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, the prayer answered, that we have asked of him. That's what he's saying. First, we need to know that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Therefore, we need to know who we are praying to. We're not just praying to another person. A lot of times we ask people for things and they don't do it. They'll say no. A lot of times we'll ask people for things, even that we love, and they'll say yes, but then they don't do it. So we might get dull and feel the same way toward God at times. Oh, well, he didn't answer that prayer. He says, I want you to have the confidence that he hears us and he answers. When we pray to God, what we're doing is we're putting the thing in God's hands, who's all powerful. And God is there for his children. That's why he's been covering how God is our Father. God cares for his children and desires to answer us according to his will, which is best. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Here we read Jesus speaking, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." He's speaking to disciples here. "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" He's trying to show us that, hey, he's going to give you good things. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" So we need to know that he hears us and he answers. He fulfills that petition and he does what's good for us. He knows how to take care of his children. This is our assurance. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is our confidence, our assurance. The word means boldness that we have in him. You notice, in Jesus. A person has to be in Jesus. There's all important words here, that we have in him. Unbelievers will sometimes ask, "Well, I prayed for this and God didn't answer it." Well, you're not in him. This is strictly to Christians. Remember, he was speaking to little children, older Christians, fathers. This is strictly to Christians. Unfortunately, sin separates us from God. So, and we'll read that verse. But so that's why these people that treat God as Santa Claus, they really don't believe in him. But when they're in trouble, they ask, and then they get angry at God because he didn't answer. Well, you're not in him. Just give your life to him and see what he does. See, you're not his child till when? Till you're born again. I'm sure you don't go next door and take care of the children and give them all they need. You take care of your own. And that's the way God is. So we have to have confidence, assurance, that he hears and he answers. Now, when we're talking about our faith, do you have confidence, assurance in your salvation in Christ? I think we all would say yes. Let's look at John, 1 John 2, verse 28. He says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So that we would have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. We're going to know we're not going to be judged. We know that. We have confidence. Same word, confidence. We have this assurance that I'm saved, and I'm sure as Christians we always say, yeah, I know, I'm going to heaven. Well, then he's saying the same thing here. Have this same confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So doesn't it just make you want to pray about everything? If this is really true? And that's why the Bible says, pray about everything and don't worry. That's why it says, pray without ceasing. God desires to answer his children. This is the confidence we have in prayer. We know our God hears us, first of all, verse 14. Maybe sometimes you wonder if he hears. Why is that? Because it doesn't seem there's an answer. But we have the confidence that he heard us. Sometimes you can be talking to someone, a lot of times to your spouse, and they don't even seem to pay attention to you. And then you're like, didn't you hear me? It's like, yeah, I heard you. But it seems like they didn't because they don't pay attention. They walk away. But they heard you. God hears you. If there's no answer right away, it doesn't mean he didn't hear you. You see? When we pray, we have the power to pray through Jesus. He tells us right here, he hears us. We have this confidence that he hears us. This is the confidence we have. However, first of all, we must make sure we confess our sin in our life. And sin isn't hindering our prayer. That needs to be taken care of. Psalm 66, verse 18, please. Psalm 66, verse 18. You know what it says in my Bible? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What does that mean? If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I have sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Doesn't mean he stops being our father and we stop being his child, just like at home when you discipline a child. Doesn't mean you stop loving them because you put them in the room or something or punish them in some way. It just means that you're just not going to, you're putting them on restriction rather than giving them more. So if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear. We have to be abiding in Christ. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Now, that isn't always the reason we think we're not getting answered, because many times it's the Lord saying no or something else. He will answer. Isaiah 1, verse 15. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He's speaking to the nation here. He says, you're really not walking with me. Your hands are bloody. You're guilty. I'm not going to hear, even though you make many prayers. So we need to first make sure that if we have sin, we confess our sin. And of course, first of all, that we're a believer and our sins are forgiven and washed away. And then when we do sin, like 1 John tells us, he is faithful and just to forgive us as we confess our sin. I don't know about you, but I want God to hear. And so we need to be in him, abiding in Christ. And that's one of the keys. See, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Let's turn to John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, you're attached to him. He's your source of life. And my words abide in you, you're obeying his word. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Because by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God wants us to give him the glory. He wants us to bear fruit. But you notice, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. See, in other words, we're attached to the Lord and we're drawing our source of life from him. That means we're going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, back to verse 14, 1 John 5. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The next thing is, we need to be asking according to his will, he hears us. It just doesn't say, if you ask anything, I will do it. It says, first you're in him, abiding in him. Then you're asking according to his will. Then he hears us. Well, how do I know if I'm asking according to his will? Because I include that in my prayer. And at times when I don't know how to pray, it tells us in Romans, you can just utter sounds and let your spirit commune with God's spirit. If we ask anything according to his will. See, if I pray, Lord, I want to be able to fly. That's probably not God's will for me. You know, unless you're like Phil or Dee Dee Crow, then maybe you can fly. Crow. But you see, but if we ask to fly, God's not going to answer that prayer. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Prayer is not a license just to ask anything or be foolish. It's not a vehicle to do that. Prayer is always the vehicle to achieve God's will in my life and not mine. Now, many times they're in alignment. He puts his desire in our heart. Some people are afraid to let God know they want something because they're afraid they won't get it. Well, I'm not going to pray for that because, no, if God knows I really want it, he's not going to give it to me. A lot of times it's in alignment. See, as I'm walking in the Spirit, following God's word, obedient to him, seeking to do his will, my prayers will be different than if I'm not walking with the Lord. Because I'll want to please God. And I'll be wise enough to know his will is better than mine. We never know how things are going to work out. We really don't know what's good for us or not good for us. Only God knows that. We think we know. That's the problem. But only God knows. It might seem totally right. And there's situations in the Bible where it might look right. But it's not for me. So that's why we need to pray according to his will. Then he hears us. I must always be seeking for his will to be done. And when you're walking with the Lord, that's really what you want. They take on a godly tone because you're seeking to please God. The prayers won't be just to please me, you see, or get my will done on this earth. Because that can be disastrous. Did you ever do something when you look back, you shouldn't have done it? Maybe at the time you thought it was okay to do? Did you ever make a mistake? Yeah. You see, and you look back and say, I prayed, I thought God said okay, but realistically, you really wanted to do that, so you did it. You didn't let God say no. There are times I don't let him say no. Jesus prayed in the garden, if possible, take this cross, this cup away from me, and let there be another way, Father. Nevertheless, your will be done. He knew, now he was showing us that's the best, God's will. There's a lot of times the things aren't taken away from us that are very painful. And God gives us the strength to go through them. And you say, what good is there in that? Well, God knows. There are going to be things that God answered or didn't answer. And we didn't believe Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. And there are going to be things that we'll probably never know while we're alive here. We just have to, by faith, know that. Because we're not always going to see the fruit of everything. You know, you can die and have shared with a person for 20 years, and then 5 years down the road, they're still alive, and accept the Lord. You're not going to see that. But you'll see them in heaven, you see. And God answered your prayer. It's God's timing. It says he's going to answer. And there are things we might not ever see. But his will, if you pray for his will to be achieved, it will. You know, on Sundays, we're going through Ephesians 5, understanding his will. We're going to go over that again Sunday. And we're going to go over understanding his will. And there are times my desires and God's desires are the same. You know, that's why we pray sincerely, even if it's something that we feel is really a desire I have. It just could be God's will. If you say, nevertheless, your will be done, you're covered. Because if he says, no, that's what you asked for, his will. But what if it is his will? Isn't that exciting? Wow. Then why not ask? I found one thing in life, if you don't ask, you don't receive. Jesus said that. I ask a lot of questions when I do any business or when we're involved in anything. I ask for a lot of things. A lot of times it works out. We pray, but we need to be confident at least that God hears us, because he tells us that right here. We should have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So John's talking about prayer, and this kind of prayer we call petitioning. Personal petitions. There's different kinds of prayers. Praise, prayers of thanks, intercession for others. There's all kinds of prayers. This kind of prayer is called petitions. And it means we're asking. I need a lot of prayer. So I ask God, I petition God during the day often. Because I want it to be done right. I want God's will to be done in my life. So I pray about everything. It doesn't mean I spend hours on that. There's quick prayers. God help me. Work this out. But we first need to know that we have to have this confidence, assurance that if we ask God according to his will, he hears us. We have to know that we're not just verbally doing this because we do it. We've got to know. We're at that point in time talking to God our Father, and he's listening. And we have to picture that. He's listening, and he hears us. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? That word, you know what that word hears us means? Gives audience to. Can you imagine God giving you an audience all day long? You know, maybe on your job or somewhere or in a church or whatever, you don't want to bother the person often, you know, the boss or the pastor, or the neighbor, or the friend, and you just feel guilty. Well, I just asked them for two things already today. I don't want to bother them again. God's saying, anytime you want an audience with me, throughout the day, come on before me. That means give audience to. He's seriously listening to you. You can sit down and talk with people and you can tell they're not listening, hey? Sometime. They're just kind of numb. Just ignoring, okay, say what you got to say and then get out of here. They don't say that, but it's probably what's in the back of their mind. God says, I'm going to give you, Chris, an audience every time you come to me. Isn't that an awesome thing? That you're sitting on the other side of the desk with God. And he's listening. Doesn't that blow your mind? That he'll take the time to listen to you. Because we're in Christ. Hebrews 4, verse 14, please. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, and speaking of Jesus, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We need help. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If it's 70 times a day or 7 times a day, come boldly, have that audience with God. He's sitting there waiting to listen to you so that you can get mercy and grace in your time of need. This is petitioning prayer. Well, don't wonder if God hears you. He does. Now, this is for believers, you know, who are seeking his will. James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's why we pray for God's will to be done. Then we're really saying, God, I want what's best when you answer my prayer. But a lot of times we pray and ask and we're just asking, you know, to spend it on ourselves for our pleasure. That's why he's not going to answer it. It's not his will. So verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You know, we know. We need to know that whatever we asked, the petitions we asked, we have of him. You know, Psalm 37, 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. You know, and let's read it, Psalm 37, 4. So it'll be planted in our heart. And he will give you the desires of your heart. 37, 4. It tells us, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. The word delight means that I really want his will. He's my dad. He hears me. I know he's going to give me good things, and he knows better than me, and I delight myself in that. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart because your heart is right. It's wanting God's will. And you're just happy in the Lord, knowing that I don't always know exactly how to ask for things, but I'll ask, and he's going to do it. He's going to answer that. God will take care of our needs and not our greeds. We need to remember that. He'll take care of our needs, but not our greeds. He's not there for our greeds or for the flesh. He's there for our needs. Like Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He will take care of us. So it tells us, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, we may not see verse 15 right away. We may not see the results of our prayers right away. Even if we're praying properly, seeking God's will, abiding in Christ, we may not see the results, the answer to that prayer. We know he hears and answers, but we may not see that right away. We've all experienced that, I'm sure of that, where God was kind of late in answering our prayer, according to us. Notice, whatever we ask, we know that we have. You notice this, know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's all present tense. The instant we ask, we have it. It's present tense. We know, it's not like God says, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. Otherwise, we wouldn't have confidence. We don't know what God is going to do. But here it tells us we have confidence that he's going to answer, he hears us, and that he answers us. See, we know that whatever we ask, we know, we need to know that we have, present tense, that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. We've already asked. We already have the answer. Well, then how come I don't get it right away? Because God's answer was a little different than your idea, and his timing was a little different. But it's already answered. We have the petitions that we asked. We may not see the answers immediately or even for quite a while. But we can rest in the confidence that he heard and he answered. Here's what he's trying to tell them. Don't get all upset about God or challenge God foolishly or say he didn't hear or he doesn't care or doesn't love. What he's trying to tell the believers is you need to have the confidence that he hears you because you're a child of God and he's answered. So then it's a matter of what? Waiting. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Waiting. But it's done. We can rest and have confidence that he's answered. Otherwise, we can get to challenge God and wonder what's going on. We need to know that so that we can get on with our walk with the Lord. We need to know it's done. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why with thanksgiving? Because that's in alignment with verse 15. We know he's answered. You thank someone once they've done it, don't you? He's answered. We can pray with thanksgiving. Oh, thank you, God, for what you're going to do, what you've done. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, that's how we can have the peace of God and not be wondering, did he hear me? Maybe I didn't use the right words. How do they pray? I don't pray like that. Maybe I'm not a good prayer warrior because I'm not saying the right words. What did they say? Because they came in the next week and had a praise report. What did they say? How did they pray? Who was there? And you can get so technical about prayer that you don't even ask. When you go through, you know, there's a lot of people that go through the drive-thrus now and the fast foods. Man, those lines are big now. Now, so you've got to keep it moving. When you get up to that speaker, you better tell them right away what you want. And then you've got to know they heard you and get out of there. You got to know that God heard you. And he answered, and you got to move on. And not get too technical about, well, how to pray or what words to use or do I have to change the tone of my voice? And no, he hears you and he knows you and he's answered. And so what that does is bring the peace. That, well, it's taken care of. I might not like the waiting. I might not even like the answer, but he did what was best. God heard and he answered because I prayed. Because when I pray, I ask according to your will. Nevertheless, your will be done, Lord. Whatever. And that's not only the words, because you don't always say the words, but it's the attitude of your heart that I just want God's will done. But God, I just want your will done. Do what's best here. And you won't be anxious for anything. Verse 15, knowing God answered, heard, and answered. Now, we can rest. How can we rest? We can rest in our faith. It requires our faith to say, I just know it. He's telling them to do this, but they have to apply their faith. Because we can read these verses today and not do it and get all anxious. We have to know he heard, know he's answered, and then rest. And it's got to be done by faith. Because if you're only going to have faith once he answers it, is that really faith? That's not faith. What is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. It's the realization of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it yet, but I have faith that that's true. He heard and he answered. Now, it's just a matter of bringing it to pass his way. So prayer, asking is the way. Now, people may say, if I'm a child of God, if I'm a Christian, God knows what I need. He knows the desire of my heart. Why ask? Why pray? Why ask? Why have petitioning prayer? You want to know why? Because asking, petitioning God, is the way God provided to give to his people. That was way back in the Bible. It's the way that God set up to provide for his people. He says, you will ask me and I will do it. God says, this is the way it's done. You ask and I do it. That focuses everything on God. People can't just be walking around asking for things. God says, here's the way it's going to work. You ask and I will provide for you. And the second thing is, We do it because he commanded us to pray. Simply because he commanded us to pray. What it does is it keeps the believer in the place of total dependence on God. It separates the believer from the unbeliever. An unbeliever is dependent on himself. A believer is dependent on God. James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17. We need to know this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, everyone, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We need to know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's why we ask God. He says, this is the way it works. You ask, I give. You give me the glory. You honor me. See, prayer keeps the Christian in the will of God. That's why it's so important for the Christian to be in the Word of God, the Bible. In the Bible, we see God's principles like we went over today about asking and receiving. And we see many situations of prayer in the Bible. You know, if a person doesn't know the Bible, they really won't know much about prayer. It's so important to be in the Word of God, because the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're desiring God's will done in your life. And you're going to know what His will is because it's in here. So you'll be praying according to His will. So more times than not, those prayers will be answered the way you expected them to be answered. Because you wanted it God's way. You see? Now, prayer doesn't always have to be audible. You pray in your heart. We see audible prayer, we see silent prayer. But asking according to His will is the main thing. Jesus said this, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. If you don't pray, you're going to lose heart. I'm going to lose heart. When something's going on, you pray, and don't you feel better, like you've put it in God's hands? It's like, it's a relief. And Jesus said that. You always ought to pray and not lose heart, which means you will if you don't. The way to not lose heart is just pray and pray again. Let's close with this, with a prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. Paul speaking, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Some disease, some illness, some affliction was given to Paul. Isn't that horrible when those things come around? Oh, no, not another thing in my body. Just what I need, something else to worry about. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So he petitioned the Lord. 3 times he pleaded with God, please take this away, Lord. That's okay to pray for. But I'm sure Paul, in the back of his mind, as we'll see further, had it in there, you know, according to whatever your will is, Lord. But boy, I sure would like to be healed. Please take it away. And he said, God answered him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He answered Paul right away. But he said, Paul, you're going to go through life with this. And you're going to find out that my grace is sufficient for you in every situation. And Paul says, therefore, most assuredly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul got something better than he asked for. God's will, which was show him the power of God so that when the next thing comes across his life, he's going to know, not a problem. His grace is sufficient for me. I got through it before, I'll get through it again. When you learn that lesson, then boy, that's really hindering Satan's attack on you because you're always counting on God. And that's what Paul did. So God answers. Sometimes it doesn't seem like a good answer, but it's always the best. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We just thank you for your great love for us. We would pray, Lord, that we would learn about prayer tonight, that would help us, that we would be at peace, knowing that we can take everything to you in prayer. Thank you that the door is open and that you give us an audience every time we come before you. Give us wisdom to take advantage of that, Lord, so we don't carry things on our own. You're there for us, and you have the answers. Help us to just place these things in your hands, Lord, and wait on you to bring it to pass, whatever way you desire. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.